on RT Radio 1, 51551 Ray at RT.ie. Conor Pope joins us in studio, PriceWatch at RT.ie. If there's anything you would like Conor to grapple with in the consumer area. The living wage is in the news, Conor. The Living Wage Technical Group has found that it has fallen slightly on last year. And the minimum wage is still €2.05 below the real living wage, which is €14.75 an hour.
Yeah.
So just for people who don't know about the living wage, just...
Well, basically, the living wage is the minimum hourly pay that would be needed by a full-time worker with no dependents to afford the basic goods and services that people have agreed are essential for enabling a basic, decent standard of living. And according to the Vincenzo...
How is it calculated?
They're based on budget standards research. So they have worked out how much somebody should spend on food, how much they should spend on energy, how much they should spend on rent, how much they should spend on all of these things. And it's by no means a luxurious lifestyle that we're talking about here. We're talking about a fairly threadbare existence here. And they've calculated that the real living wage is €14.75, which, as you say, is €2.05 above the minimum wage. Now, the minimum wage is the wage that the state sets and nobody can be paid less than that. And like, clearly then the argument is, well, then you should be paying everybody the living wage, because people who are working full time, you know, they deserve to earn a salary on which they can live.
Yes.
You know, because if they can't live on the salary they're earning, well, then you have to wonder why. What's the point? And I say that entirely cognizant of the fact that there's an awful lot of small and medium-sized businesses out there who are struggling already to meet the wage costs of their employees. So it's okay for me to waltz into the studio and say, all of you small businesses, you need to pay all your staff another €2.05 an hour. I can't say that, because it's a much more complicated problem than that. But what this group, and it's led by the Vincenzo Research Centre at the Society of the St. Vincent de Paul and others, it just reflects the real costs that are faced by employees. And it looks then every year at what costs are going up and what costs are going down. Because there's this, I think people could be misled into believing a narrative that the cost of living crisis is over, and that, you know, all of the difficulties that we endured from 2022 through 2023.
But the fact that it's been reduced by 5 cents, would that not suggest that?
It's been reduced by 5 cents because the cost of energy has fallen from an annual cost for a typical household of maybe €4,000 to €3,000, but it's still more expensive than it was. But the largest cost increases that they noted were education's gone up 6.6%, housing has gone up 6.2%, and car insurance has gone up 4.5%. Food has gone up by 1.5%. Now, you might look at that number and say, well, sure, that's not that much. But that's a 1.5% on the back of a 21% increase that was recorded the previous year. And it's not like it's gone up 1.5%, but they've taken away the 21%. It's 1.5% on top of that more than 20% hike. And then there have been, decreases in energy costs, which are down 16.6%, and health costs, as well as the cost of household services. So, you know, health costs are down 4.8%. So there are swings and roundabouts, but generally speaking, people are much more disadvantaged now than they were.
If it became mandatory that every business would pay their employees the living wage, it's difficult to plan then, isn't it? Because it goes up and down. And
it does, but it's not impossible to plan.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that could be done here, rather than just putting the entire burden on the employees and the employers, many of whom, as I say, are struggling, like, it shouldn't be beyond the wit of man to work out some kind of tax incentives or measures that could be introduced by the state, because Lord knows we keep hearing that we have all this money washing around the system. And I know that you talked about the Apple payments and all that stuff. But like, there's the money from the government isn't the problem. So maybe if there was some way that the state could support small employers so that they could meet the costs for their employees, and then the bigger, more profitable employers, the big retail chains,
that should be doable.
You know, they can afford that stuff. They're making the money.
Yes.
So it's never going to be every single business, no matter what your size, can now afford to pay X. But the businesses that can't afford to pay X should be able to make a case to the state.
But there is a strong case for that. That everybody should be getting at least the living wage.
The case is irrefutable to my mind, because if you're not being paid enough money to live, well, then what's the point of it all?
Right, we'll keep an eye on that. This one came into Pricewatch at RTE.ie. I made a Currys click and collect purchase for a TV on behalf of my mother yesterday. The transaction was in her name, but with my credit card. It was to be collected from their branch in Liffey Valley, but they phoned a couple of hours later and said that the item was out of stock and that to process a refund, I would need to go to the shop in Lucan. I pushed back, said that was unreasonable and that I wanted to speak to a manager. A few hours after that, I got another call, not sure if it was the manager, but it was a different person, from someone who said that there was no way for them to process a refund without me going to the shop.
Now, this infuriates me. This kind of story infuriates me because it's basically the computer says no. And I hate the whole the computer says no mentality that exists. And particularly when this person actually bought the product online, and yet they can't get the money back online. They have to make themselves...
It was a click and collect, so there would have been a trip to the shop.
100%. Yeah. But they paid for the product on the web.
Yes.
And then they go to the shop and they collect the product.
Yes.
So the transaction happened online. They would have had to be a physical presence to collect the telly.
Yeah, yeah.
And the only reason they couldn't get... the product was because it wasn't available.
Okay, fair enough.
So there's two things here that Currys have let them down on. First, they sold them a product that they didn't have.
Yes.
And secondly, they were saying, sorry now, you're going to have to go into Liffey Valley and you're going to have to collect. But you can almost see the logic from the shop.
Yeah, what is the logic?
You can almost see the logic being, well, you were coming in anyway.
Yes.
So you might as well come
that's
in.
That's where I went initially.
Yeah, but you were coming in to get a telly.
Devil's advocate, yeah.
But now you're not getting the telly.
Okay.
So you shouldn't have to come in.
But that's the essence of it, right? But surely this is policy for a reason.
Well, anyway, so we'll come to that. Okay. So I contacted Currys and I got... The first response I got was this, and I'll read it in full. It's not long. A Currys spokesperson said that this refund was processed for this customer within the past few days and the refund amount should be in the customer's account in the next few days. So none of the questions that I had for them were answered, as in, why would they have to go back into the shop?
Yes.
Like, it's not their fault that you don't have the product and all these different things. And it was also worth pointing out that they said the refund was processed within the past few days and the refunded amount should be in the customer's account in the next few days. But of course, that's completely vague. And I'd actually heard from the customer minutes earlier and they still hadn't got the money, nor had they heard anything from the shop. So I was like, well, that's not acceptable. I mean, we're asking a fairly clear question here. So I think I came back and I said, you know, why did he have to go back into the shop? When is the refund going to be processed? All of these very things. And at the very least, they should have said to him, oh, listen, I'm sorry about that. You know, like, sorry for the inconvenience.
Mm.
So they came back to me with another statement. And I'll read you a little bit of it because it's slightly longer. And it says, due to the way our systems are set up, when an item is bought on a pay and collect basis, as this was, a refund is only available in store when the customer is present. Now, the phrase that leaps out at me there is, due to the way our systems are set up. So who set up your systems?
You can change it.
due to this policy, I mean, there's a line from The Simpsons which says, due to our policy of overbooking flights, this flight has been overbooked. So it's the same kind of deal. We set up our systems this way, and that means that there's no option here. So then they went on to say, that said, the customer should have been referred to our customer service team and they could have helped to process the refund quickly. We apologise that this didn't happen and the refund has been processed and should be in the customer's account soon, if it isn't already. And then the manager of the store will be in touch with the customer to clarify all the above. So then I heard from the customer and he was pleased that the money had been returned to his account and he didn't have to make the trip from his home to Liffey Valley.
But people, customers of Currys who find themselves in a similar situation in the future will have to go to the shop.
Well, exactly.
They're not going to change their policy.
It's just due to the way our systems are set up. Well, what I would suggest Currys could do is
change
that this is probably not a big deal. I can't imagine this happens all the time. I would imagine that when they sell a product, generally speaking, they have the product to sell the person. Otherwise, they shouldn't be in business. So it's a small thing. It's an irritating thing and it shouldn't be that difficult to fix.
You might know the answer to this question, Connor. It's sort of related to this. But organisations, their computers are very good and very quick at taking money from us.
Yeah.
But something happens to their poor computers when it comes to giving us money back. Slow down.
It's a mystery.
Isn't it?
Like if I want to pay for something, the money's gone straight away. And I'm not getting that money back. It's gone. But if I want to get the money back, it'll take a few working days. Could take 5, 10, 15, 20 working days. Like, why does it go so slowly on the other side? And I have, like all of your listeners, I have absolutely no idea why the speed when it goes one direction is dramatically different to the speed when it goes the other. But I suspect that it's because it's to our disadvantage, generally speaking, whereas it's to the businesses, the banks and everybody else's
advantage. But in this day and age, surely they can't cite a slow computer as an excuse.
No, they can't. And actually, there is probably good news coming down the tracks on that front, because there's new EU rules on payments coming into force in 2025 that should expedite the money. So it'll be more like the fintechs, the likes of Revolut, that when you transfer money from A to B, it goes straight away. And it'll be like, hopefully it'll be like that across the banks.
Brilliant. Good news from Conor Pope. And well done on that Currys customer. Pricewatch at RTE.ie if you want Conor to grapple with any of your consumer issues. Thanks, Conor. We'll talk to you next week. That's it from us. Sarah and Cormac on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Monday evening.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.